The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We're going to be setting up shop right here across the street from Westtown Mall. Hey, William, that would be 7804 Montview Way. Why? Because tickets are going on sale for the 8th annual Big Kahuna Wing Festival. Will, it's a month from today. It is Sunday, September the 5th. And my man, here's the best part. Not only do you have a chance to score them for $20, $30 at the door, but $20 in advance, Matt Beeler leaned in, whispered in my ear, and said, still just very few remaining VIP tickets. This is back, and it's going to be a huge event coming up September 5th.
That's right, September 5th, 3 to 9 p.m. Think about it. It's all day long that you're going to be able to do this. You're going to get the fireworks show that we've missed so much around that Labor Day weekend. It's a celebration of wings, and you can try the best wings all around the East Tennessee.
Yes.
People competing for your judgment to have the best wings. You're going to absolutely love it. It's only $20 if you purchase those tickets ahead of time. BKWFestival.com. You got bands. You've got so many great things to do there. There's a kids' fun area. It's family friendly. Yeah, you can still enjoy bands. You can still enjoy beverages. You can still enjoy the wings. Just $20 for all day long on Sunday, September 5th at the BKW Wing Festival. If you've not done that VIP, the most baller VIP you can possibly find. It is spectacular. You can find a few of those as well. It's adjacent to the performance area. You get complimentary food from Big Kahuna Wings and steaks from U.S. Foods.
Ooh.
Unlimited beverages, includes alcohol and craft beer garden, plus private bathrooms as well that you get with that VIP.
True or false?
Yeah.
Tonight is the first football game of the year, and we will not go without a week of football until the end of February.
Yeah, that is wild, isn't it? It's a pretty solid matchup. I mean, it's two big names, right? At least, even though it's preseason football, Dallas against Pittsburgh on that trash field they have up there in Canton. But it's still kind of cool to see them go play that. Is it too much, though? Is this too soon? First week of August, is there a such thing as football's happening too soon? Because I don't think that there is. But there are a lot of people who, like I heard Kaner was talking about it during, earlier in the show, that, hey, I'm not really going to pay attention to this. Is it too soon for football, then, if we're doing this the first week of August?
I'm not a big fan of Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
I think Roger Goodell has done some good things. I think he's done some bad things. I'm just ready for him in the next 5 to 6 years just to kind of ride off in the sunset. You want to know what I love about Roger Goodell? And that's trying to make the NFL product 365 days a year. Will, if you're telling me that I can get a football game every week between August and February, if you could find a way to then stretch out Pro Bowls, combines, draft, voluntary OTAs, you know, camp, and then stretch it into the beginning of the preseason, if you're telling me that the National Football League can be a 12-month, 52-week-a-year product, I'm here for that. And they're slowly starting to push it in that direction. We already have an extra game added to the schedule this year.
Do we do?
Roger Goodell says the last thing he wants to do before he steps aside is to get the NFL contract from 17 games possibly to 20 games. Now, I'm not going to jump into that mess bowl of how they're going to work that out when it comes to compensation, when it comes to TV rights. The point is this. Roger Goodell, for all the things that we kind of side-eyed him for or turn our lip up to, Roger Goodell is trying to make good for his word of, if I see fit, I would make the NFL 365 days a year. He's well on his way. So you ask me if it's too early, brother, testing the water, it's just right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this either. And look, with NFL preseason, you can watch it, you cannot watch it.
Sure.
It's not like the you know, I don't love 17 games or stick it at 16 just because in those years where we've seen a lot of important players get hurt, the league was not nearly as compelling.
Right.
And I think that adding another week without adding another bye week is it's just going to lead to more players getting hurt by the time
we
get to
that.
The playoffs. But I am in on the NFL preseason. It's fun. It's football, which is good, and it's real football. It's not, I hate to say, nothing against the USFL coming back or the XFL with The Rock or the AAF that Kaner loves so much.
Still has the app on his phone.
Yeah, so it's nothing against those leagues, but this is what matters, right?
Yep.
It's the NFL and it's college football, and that's the only thing that really matters here. And you're right. Look, the other thing I would say is if you're a football fan, you're going to watch that game tonight and be like, wow, it's a little early to be playing football. And then you're going to kind of blink, and we're into the college football season, NFL season. That's kind of the way that it goes.
Is preseason football kind of like pizza? Is it kind of like wings? It's never not good?
Yeah. Preseason football is like frozen pizza. It's still good. Like, you'll still eat it. You know what I mean? That's what preseason football is like. Is it the real thing? It's not. But, if it's sitting there and somebody's like, hey, I'm hungry. There's frozen pizza sitting there. I'm eating the pizza. That's the way preseason football is.
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the VFL quickly. Mason Rudolph is getting first half snaps tonight.
Yes.
Big Ben's not going to see any action.
Yeah, put him in cellophane.
They also kind of signed Dwayne Haskins during the offseason. Remember that. Are we seeing Josh Dobbs the final days as a Pittsburgh Steeler? Because he got shipped off, he got brought back. But Dwayne Haskins, that kind of tells me perhaps maybe that the Josh Dobbs experience in Pittsburgh is not going to be long for.
Yeah, I mean, but he can still bounce around the league and make some money and have a really nice, solid little career. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't mean like a little career, but having a real nice, solid career. You know what I mean? That Josh can do that. But you brought in Haskins because he has a bazooka arm that dude could stand in the pocket and make plays. There aren't many guys that have 50 touchdown passes in a given college football year, and he was one of those few guys that have done that. So, but he had a horrible attitude when he was in Washington, and they're getting their brains beat in, and he's bragging to everybody after a loss, and the whole team's dejected, and he's showing everybody the stat sheet of everything that he did, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Taking selfies with fans before the game's over. Yeah,
things like that. Didn't know how to be a pro. They brought Haskins in to eventually, hey, let's see if he ever does grow up. And he can be the heir apparent to Big Ben. And they brought him in. And so I would not expect Josh Dobbs spends the whole year on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think he'll get signed somewhere else to be a second set of eyes and things like that on the field.
There are many people who believe that Dwayne Haskins can still be a serviceable NFL quarterback. The problem is that Washington threw him in a game to sell tickets in D.C. before Dwayne Haskins was ready to go.
Well, I also think that he acted like he, because he's, and how I know is because Dwayne Haskins told us that he acted like a punk. Yeah. And he thought, you know, I hate to use that word because it gets thrown around way too much. He acted entitled. He acted like he was a superstar already. He acted like, I'm the next big thing. And it probably didn't help that Dan Snyder made them play him because he's a local guy and they wanted to put some backsides and seats in that arena. But look, if he was humbled enough where, okay, let's get back to doing what got me here, which is the work, then Dwayne Haskins can still make it. And I do think Pittsburgh is hoping, but they've got him on such a no-lose deal that if it doesn't work out for him, that, you know, it's fine. They just cut bait with him. But I do think they brought Haskins in to be that third quarterback that's on the roster.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Where can you find us? Well, Montview Way. It's called the Montview Place. We're across the street from Westtown Mall, where you can find us. Big Kahuna Wings. You're probably looking at your calendar. Probably you're hearing our voices echoing through your car, the radio in your kitchen. Perhaps you're already at work and you're saying to yourself, oh, wait a second. Yeah, it is August. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, we are getting close to the 8th annual Big Kahuna Wing Festival. You know where it's happening. You can find us. We're going to be all throughout the event, and you're going to be able to find us downtown. We're at World's Fair Park. So if you're looking for an opportunity to cash in now before you have to pay $30 at the door, tickets go on sale for just $20 at bkwfestival.com. We've got a Pools by Heritage UT Fall Practice Report coming up with Eric Kane on the other side. What did Josh Heupel learn about his players? Practice number one of fall camp. We'll tell you next here on the Starting Lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The United States continue to hold a lead in the overall medal count at the Tokyo Olympics, leading China 85-73 in the total medal count. The Americans also hanging around in the gold medal chase, trailing China 33-27. The United States men's basketball team is on to the gold medal game, taking down Australia 97-78. Kevin Durant led the way 23 points. Devin Booker added 20 in the win. Victor Oladipo is staying with the Miami Heat on a one-year deal with news around the NBA. Kemba Walker reached a buyout agreement with the Thunder. He's now joining the Knicks. Former NBA All-Star LaMarcus Aldridge is considering an NBA comeback. On the diamond, the Braves top the Cardinals 7-4. The Cubs go by the Rockies 3-2. Reds escape the Twins 6-5. The Yankees blew out the Orioles 10-3. Red Sox handle the Tigers 4-1. And the Dodgers down the Astros 7-5. And the Tennessee Smokies came up short in Montgomery last night, falling to the Biscuits 13-1. Have a little fun with instant games. August instant games available now at any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Top prizes ranging anywhere from $5,000 up to $1 million. It's 7:15. Pete Michaels traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The Starting Lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
All right, 7:18 for your Thursday morning. At TSL 99.1, if you're looking through us throughout the evening and throughout the entirety of the program, you can find us. Is my guy Josh walking in right now? I think my guy Josh is walking in right now as we hand things over to Eric Cade. Kaner, Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. Appreciate it as always. Kaner, it's a UT Fall Practice Report, Pulse by Heritage. Josh Heupel had the opportunity to chat with the media for the first time. Thoughts after practice number one, my friend?
Yeah, Tennessee practice officially underway as the team went helmets only on practice Wednesday morning. Head coach Josh Heupel pleased with the effort and the retention rate most of his players have carried over from spring ball.
For pretty much everybody on the offensive unit, we are way ahead of where we finished offensively. I mentioned that on the defense side of the ball too, but we've continued to become smarter, more understanding of what we're trying to do and how to operate throughout the summer.
The Vols had a couple of tight ends not in practice on Wednesday. Princeton Fant was not there, but Heupel said he'll be back at practice today. Freshman Trinity Bell, who was still rehabbing from an offseason injury, was not there. Freshman Kamen Marley was practicing a wide receiver instead of defensive backs on day one, while Cade Mays was repping at right tackle. Tennessee hits the practice field again this morning. Quarterbacks coach Joey Halsey and select players will be made available to the media shortly thereafter. This spring football practice report, or this Tennessee football practice report, rather, is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. You can beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
All right, so, Kaner, you guys got to see an hour yesterday, right? Is that what you, like, so the, a lot more than you have in the past?
Yeah.
So, look, I like that. But here's the thing that always was weird to me, man. Like, back in the day, you'd have Tennessee's coaches acting like they got state secrets and stuff like that. We'd go see the Titans and do a broadcast from there, Josh and I used to. And practice is open. Dudes are fighting right there on the field. Whatever. They don't care. It's not like they get it's just football. I get when you're installing the game plan, that can be a different story. But just for camp practices, who cares, man? It's not like you're reinventing the wheel. Quarterbacks yesterday, getting to see an hour of them. What did you think of the quarterbacks? I know they were just in helmets and shorts, but what did you think of what you saw?
Yeah, well, real quick, shout out Bill Martin. He's busting his tail to make sure we get as much as we can.
That guy's so good at his job.
Yeah.
That guy. Look, and I will say this: like, if you're a fan, I get you don't know who Bill Martin's name is, and I don't really like know Bill Martin. We're not like riding tandem bicycles around campus or anything. But that guy is fantastic at his job.
I can put in a word for you today if you need me to.
Hey, I appreciate that. If Bill has a tandem bicycle, I'm looking for somebody.
I'm going to be looking for a parking spot this year. I'm going to be like, what's Will and Bill doing together? Which, by the way, was going to be the next morning show when they let me go. Will and Bill in the morning.
Will and Bill in the mornings. The quarterbacks. I thought, again, it's day one. No one's sore. No one's tired. Everyone's fresh. You're just wearing helmets. No shoulder pads. So having said all that, I mean, I literally thought all four quarterbacks looked good when we were there. Now, you know, we were just there for Indy. We were there for drills. We were there for going, you know, passes on air. We were going for just a smidge of, like, inside run 11-on-11 stuff. So they didn't get into the game plan stuff when we were there. But I thought Hendon Hooker, again, stop me if you've heard this before. I thought Hendon Hooker looked consistent, not too flashy, didn't make mistakes. He looked as consistent as always. I thought he looked all right. I thought he looked pretty good. Harrison Bailey probably threw the best ball that I saw yesterday. It was a deep go to, I believe, Jimmy Calloway down the far numbers. It looks like he might, like, his mechanics look a little bit sharper from, you know, just day one in from, you know, where they were back in the spring. And then everybody wants to know about Joe Milton. Man, his mechanics are unreal. He's quick. He's got good feet. His throwing motion looks crisp. His release is so much faster than all the others. My biggest thing about Joe Milton yesterday was, I mean, my goodness, you're throwing a 3-yard slant coming in, you're throwing a 95 mile per hour fastball right there to the chest plate of your wide receiver. Take a little bit off that. Maybe he was a little bit too hyped up for day number one, but nonetheless, he throws the ball hard and he's got the best arm of all four quarterbacks. So I thought all those guys looked pretty good yesterday, and certainly they'll continue to separate themselves as camp goes on.
Kaner, overall, just got to ask you from D. Beckwith, how did he get brought up yesterday? And let's be honest, you know Josh Heupel's going to talk about the sizable running back.
Yeah, D. Beckwith, again, another question asked about what position will he be at long-term. And Josh Heupel said, hey, he is a running back right now. We went back in the last 5 to 6 practices as a spring practice, and we liked the way that he was going. He said that he believes those were the best practices he's had. He's really starting to run with good pad leverage. He's learning to see things in front of him. He's learning to utilize, you know, he's becoming a better running back, essentially, was what he's saying. And so he thinks that there is a role for him in this offense at running back. So we're going to probably keep asking Josh Heupel for right now. Let's keep saying the same thing. D. Beckwith, the 6'5", 230-pound athlete, is going to stay at running back for right now.
All right, so last thing, man, groupings. What did that look like as far as the ones and twos? And does that even, like, do they even have that figured out yet?
No, they don't have that figured out. They probably have a good idea. Pretty much the theme I picked up on yesterday was –
everybody that was involved in spring practice was up there with the quote-unquote ones and twos, okay? Juwan Mitchell, who's going to play every single snap he possibly can on defense this year, he was repping at the twos with Jeremy Banks, who missed all of spring with an injury, okay? Like, the two quote-unquote ones yesterday were Solon Page and Quazi Garland at linebacker. Like, that's not going to last, you know what I'm saying? So, as far as the quarterback's order, I think Hendon Hooker, you know, every day in the spring they had one quarterback that went with the ones. It looked like Hendon Hooker was with the ones pretty much every single time, and so maybe it was Hendon Hooker's day to go with the ones in terms of quarterbacks. But, like, Jalin Hyatt was repping with the twos yesterday, wide receiver. None of that matters right now. So if you read any report, if you read any of my work, if you hear my practice reports or anything, and I say first group is bam, 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 right now, and really the first couple, you know, the first week, week and a half of spring practice or a fall camp, that doesn't mean anything whatsoever. It's just getting those guys back acclimated to the field, getting them back involved, and seeing these transfers who haven't been here start rising up the depth chart. And I think all that will start taking place here probably by next week.
Kaner, we appreciate it. 656-9900.
Hey, this is BFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
28 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Will West, it's nothing short of extraordinary. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Will West, you can hear him adjusting his headset right now because the guy is about to bring his A game. He is the proprietor of Big Kahuna Wings, and we're doing it from Westtown Mall's location. Well, look, really, it's the Montview Place location, but anytime I make a comment to my friends, they always say to me, Farragut or the Westtown Mall location? It's not at Westtown Mall, but everybody knows the beautiful views, the seating on the patio, and as I've already pointed out about one of your staff members this morning, the excellent service you get every single time. It matches the food that comes out of the kitchen. Matt Beeler, shoulder slap, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back.
Yeah, so, okay, so you've got it coming. It's starting, right? I mean, it is back. COVID did what COVID did and took a year away from us. This is my favorite event of the year every single year because it is a celebration of wings like you wouldn't believe, but it is coming back, and we are 1 month out right now.
Yeah, excited, you know, being able to have a little extra time to look at the event and say, okay, how can we change this up, make it a little bit different setting than we've had before. You know, you're always trying to improve on what you're doing and make sure that, you know, the people are coming down there and trying to enjoy the day and give back to the local charities. But how can we keep improving? So having a little bit extra time, we've been able to completely redo the performance lawn and how we set up everything. We have a new patron village this year where really all the activities will go on within that. We've moved the stages around there and allowed VIP area now to have a great view of the entire lawn and as well as the best seats in the house for fireworks. And so, you know, been really excited. I'm glad to get to ticket sales because, you know, you do all the work and it's like, okay, let's get moving. And I know I'm 30 days out once we start sales.
All right, so, and again, bkwfestival.com is where you can find tickets for the BKW Wing Festival coming up Saturday, September 5th. That's one thing you mentioned that I think, okay, like for me, I just want to go eat a lot of wings, man. You know, like, that's what I'm about.
Co-signed.
All the wings. Give me all the wings you could have, and that's the thing. But you raise a ton of money for nonprofits in our area as well.
Well, and that's what today's all about, and I keep telling people, you know, the event was started 9 years ago. We're only on number eight, but you know, when I started the event, it was, you know, how do we take something that would be fun and be able to get a lot of people to come down and give back to the charities. You know, when we first started, the tickets were I believe $20 at the gate and a little bit cheaper coming in, but if we're going to continue to give back and try to give higher numbers, then, you know, with certain things have to happen and change, and we've been fortunate to give over 400,000 in the first 7 years of the event. And this year, in looking at who we're going to be giving to, it was, all right, let's get more boots on the ground, and that's why we've got some things like Fourth Purpose and empowering educators and survivor fitness, along with our core that we've always done, which is UT Culinary and Empty Stocking Fund, and bringing in Children's Hospital this year.
Level with us. And I made a comment with you right before we went on the air this morning to Will's point about what you do for the local charities. Could you ever imagine that not only you would be putting $400,000 into the local charities, but this would become such a popular event where really people are building their weekend, their holiday weekend, into coming into town, or if they're already in town, making sure that they eat stomach full of wings, knowing football's tied into it. This year they moved to the Thursday, but usually it's the same weekend. Could you ever imagine when you were creating the Big Kahuna Wing Festival, you could do so much for charities, but then also do so much for the city of Knoxville?
No.
In fairness, this is what you're doing. I mean, this is accurate to what we just laid out.
Well, I guess it really what my you know the vision was giving back, and I knew Knoxville would support. I mean, we're the volunteer state, and you know, I grew up here, and I you knew people loved wings because you could see that around the city already when I started it. But to see what we've done, because it is not only the people that come that day, but the great organizations, Cumulus, WATE and U.S. Foods and Springer right. Mountain and all these that have stepped up and said, hey, you know, we believe in the event. We believe in what you're trying to do. And that's really what helps us, raise as much money as we can.
And Will, children are free under the age of 8. So we talk about all the family-friendly things yeah. you can do here.
And it really is. And where can you go and enjoy a beverage, enjoy wings, see live bands, and you can bring the kids and feel safe with it too, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and again, it's kind of like the restaurant. The restaurant is it's about family. And we did a launch last year before everything happened, and I got asked the question of, you know, why the charities and why we do what we do and why how we set the festival up with that. And it was family and food. And that's kind of how I grew up, which was, you know, we grew up with my mother's side being the Italian side. We grew up in the kitchen, and it was all about family and food. And that's where I look a lot at not only the charitable organizations, but how we do the events. And because, you know, at our age, my age now, I'm 46 years old. There are a lot of people that just can't go do something because they have kids. So yeah. if we don't offer that for them, and you know, we're giving back to charity, but at the same time, everybody has budgets and everybody has dollars that they can spend, and to be able to allow the kids to come in and enjoy the event so that everybody can get out. Again, that's why we do it the way we do.
All right, so let me ask you this. If for somebody who's listening right now who's never been to the Big Kahuna Wing Festival, Matt Mueller joining us now, Big Kahuna Wing Festival coming up on September 5th. So we're really excited about that. That's a Sunday, Labor Day weekend. What can they expect if they come to Big Kahuna Wing Festival for the first time?
They can expect Tyler to have way too much fun in VIP. Way too many wings.
No, eaten. Lie to yeah, us, yeah, Matt. Yeah, yeah. Tell us. Yeah.
No, it's an all day. You know, 3 o'clock is when we open the doors. We've got 25 teams competing. So obviously the day is as far as the food part of it is wings. So, you know, we've 15,000 pounds of. If you average that out, it's over 120,000 wings.
Goodness
that
gracious.
Will get cooked up. This year we've got the. I wanted to pay homage to the site that we do the festival, and so we're bringing in a new element called the Wings Around the World Pavilion, and we'll have wing flavors that are represented from 10 different countries.
We're watching the Olympics awesome. Right now, and I'm sitting here going, is that country flag going to be represented? Is that country's flag going to be represented? It's going to be incredible, man.
We'll actually launch that probably in a couple of weeks of the different countries and what we're going to do. But you'll be able to go through there and try and, you know, sample some of those as well. And then the fireworks. I heard you talking earlier about fireworks, you know, the event that we used to have downtown.
Yes.
I loved it. I was fortunate to see the very first one and watched quite a few from there. And when that went away, it was disappointing. And so in working with the city and saying, you know, I don't want to do something that large, but, you know, can we start looking at maybe bringing it back since I had moved the event to September? And they've been completely on board as far as, you know, let's try to grow this to where it is a controlled environment, but be able to launch a really good fireworks show. And this year we're bringing some elements that you may have seen before. So it's going to be kind of exciting. I can't really say any more than that. But we got contests on the stage, Triple X wing eating contest, and bobbing for wings. We're still going to do bobbing for wings.
Nice.
We're going to do it a little different this year. Everybody will have their own little pool that they try to eat out of.
But social distance always, bobbing for wings.
But it'll actually probably be better for everybody to do it that way. But live music, we'll announce that in a week, who our bands are, and then the silent auction. So it, really, there's quite a bit to do all day long, and then you end the evening with finding out who is the Tennessee state champion and gets to go to the World Food Championships, and we got $10,000 worth of prize money for those guys that are out there cooking.
That's awesome. Okay, so if people want to get tickets, bkwfestival.com. Sponsorship opportunities. Do you have any of those still available?
Yeah, again, like I was speaking earlier, you know, the event does not happen without the great companies in this city that help the event raise that much money. And so there are definitely some opportunities still there, and you can get online to the festival site
also,
as well.
Also, you have thousands upon thousands of people in East Tennessee that are going to be seeing your product as well. That's right there,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, you know, we've averaged 8,000 people at the event. We're hopeful that we'll have more than that this year, but it's definitely a great opportunity. But, again, the opportunity to give back is the reason why the sponsors that we have do what they do. If they were looking at it purely from that standpoint, they would have a great opportunity to get in front of people. But, you know, more importantly, no matter what's happened in the last 18 months, there are still people in need, and that's really what we got to focus on.
Yeah.
The website, clean, sleek, all the details you need, bkwfestival.com. Matt Beeler, handshakes all around, my friend. Appreciate it as always. It's kind of like an Italian kitchen. Every single time we come here, Will and I, whether we're going to the Farragut location
or eat a lot of food every time.
Will's eating a lot of food, and you just welcome us in each and every time.
Yeah.
Shoulder slaps and handshakes. Big, big event coming up 1 month from today on Sunday, September the 5th. So I appreciate, everything you do for us over at 99.1 The Sports Animal. And if you're trying to test me about what I'm going to do in the VIP section, I have no problem at least, you know, raising the bar from 2 years ago.
I had to look forward to that.
It's honesty each and every time, Matt Bill. Yeah. We appreciate it. And, hey, 13 hours of local programming. Stop by and see us. The doors are opening at 11 a.m. They're going to fire the kitchen up. It's the best bite you'll have every day, each time you walk through the doors here at Big Kahuna Week. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. NFL starts tonight. The Olympic Mount Rushmore as the United States continues to grow in the medal count. We still have a jam-packed hour plus to get to here on the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
He lists amateur tornado chaser on his resume.
Tyler Ivins.
The starting lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
I have been wearing you guys out about one single question all week long. And the reason why is because once I get through the first two names on this list, I struggle from there. And I think it becomes debatable. What American athletes are on the Mount Rushmore of Olympic athletes, the four athletes on the Mount Rushmore of U.S. Olympians? Because I think it's Michael Phelps 1, right?
Yes, for the bullet.
Without question. I have Carl Lewis 2. And the reason why is 10 medals, 9 gold during that time. And let's be honest, Carl Lewis would have done even more if Ben Johnson wouldn't cheat.
Ratio is big there.
Yeah. So, but we all expected Simone Biles to finish these Olympic Games and be on that list, and now she's not, probably because she didn't really do much in these games. She did get a medal, and good for her. So who is on the Mount Rushmore of U.S. Olympians?
I think that you have to have a conversation about a track athlete because of just how dominant those athletes can be. But my question to you is, does Jesse Owens get the nod because of the atmosphere, because of this location, because of the history of when it occurred? Or do you go with somebody who was just dominant for a period of time, like either a Jackie Joyner-Kersee or a Flo-Jo? To me, I think Flo-Jo gets put on this list over the other two. That's where the debate begins. And then I go to the pool. My fourth one would be Mark Spritz because of just what he's been able to do. I mean, the gold medals at one location, what he was able to do in the 70s, I mean, Will, to me, it seems like, again, Disagreements, I'm sure, will follow, but those are the three and four spots that at least shine through me over the last 100-plus years of the United States participating.
Yeah, again, I think it's Phelps, it's Carl Lewis, and then I think we're – you got about five names that are filling out that you're choosing for between
those
last two.
That was my question.
Maybe six names.
What's the pool?
You've got – I think that you have – you could say Simone Biles because she did so much in that one Olympics the last time, and then coming back in this one. But I can't put her there. Shannon Miller's another one, if you look at what Shannon Miller did over two different Olympics. Mary Lou Retton, in 1984, when Mary Lou Retton won the women's individual all-around, the Olympics were in L.A., you're coming off of the U.S. boycott in the Olympics just a few times before, and then it was the first non-Eastern European to win the women's all-around in the women's gymnastics. Jesse Owens is another one. Jim Thorpe, who won the pentathlon and the heptathlon. Way back in the day, if you want to go there.
Yes.
Mark Spitz is one. Greg Louganis is another one. So they did it. Flo Jo, Jackie Joyner-Kersee. Those are the names, six, seven names that you're probably choosing from for those final two spots. For me, the four I go with, Phelps, Lewis. I'm going to go with Mary Lou Retton because that was so big when it happened. And then I'm going to go Jesse Owens. And the reason I go Jesse Owens, even though we didn't win as many golds as some other people that you could go with as a Mark Spitz or somebody like that, but when Jesse Owens did it, it was such a big deal when it happened as an African-American man in racist Hitler's country that this Olympics happened in. And it was such a big spot that Avery's 16 years old and she knows about it, right? She knows who Jesse Owens is. So because of that, I'll say it's Phelps.
So impact value.
Yeah, yeah. Owens. Phelps, Lewis, Retton, and then I'm going to go with Jesse Owens after that. We have a lot of people who have weighed in. We ask on Facebook, what four athletes are on the U.S. the Mount Rushmore of U.S. Olympians? Kevin says Spitz, Jenner, Phelps, Retton.
So there's a vote for Jenner.
Yeah, there is a vote for Bruce Jenner. There's a vote for Mark Spitz there. Larry says Spitz, Phelps, Carl Lewis, Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
Okay. Again, I have a feeling that there's going to be 75% for that Spitz area, but that it's going to be where does anybody else go from there?
Rick says Carl Lewis, Michael Phelps, Simone Biles, Michael Johnson. And Michael Johnson was an absolute monster.
The other MJ, yeah.
Yeah, he was an absolute monster. Kaner, who are your four Olympians that you're throwing on the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, so a lot of the names you guys have already mentioned, I would probably, Mark Spitz is one of those three, four. My top two obviously would be Michael Phelps and Jesse Owens for me. And then three, four, Mark Spitz, Carl Lewis, and then kind of, Simone Biles would start being in that conversation. So I'd say Owens, Phelps, Spitz, and Lewis for me.
Shane says Michael Phelps, Mark Spitz, Carl Lewis, Katie Ledecky is one that's there. I don't think Katie Ledecky's there, but by the time Katie Ledecky hangs it up and finishes with the Olympics, Katie Ledecky will be on this list. She'll have won so many golds.
You believe this?
Yeah, because I think Katie Ledecky's got two more Olympics in her.
Wow.
And she's going to win, three medals, four medals.
Remind
each.
Me the name, the woman from Australia who's been giving her thorns
Titmus.
In the side.
Titmus. But people say she's the greatest women's swimmer of all time, and she wins the shorter events, and Ledecky wins the more distance events. But once she's gone, then Katie Ledecky's going to win those events, too.
I'm ignorant to this, so quickly, what's the age difference?
Titmus is like 31, and I want to say Katie Ledecky is in her early 20s.
Yeah, so Titmus, she doesn't have much left.
No, yeah, this is it for her.
Okay. Okay, so then maybe the Ledecky does come, join this conversation in 3 years.
Last thing, year four.
I would go, I'm with you with the first two, but then that's where I would go Flo Jo and Mark Spitz.
Okay, Flo Jo's very fair because Flo Jo was an icon when she was doing what she was doing. So it was beyond, Katie Ledecky's 24 years old. So okay. She's got two more.
So the point being, it was just the moment for you, the impact for Jesse Owens. That was kind of my thought about Flo Jo was,
yeah.
Women, little girls who were watching the Olympics, they didn't care as long as they were in front of the television to see what Flo Jo was doing.
Yeah, I could see that.
And when the very first time I ever saw Flo Jo, I said, this woman might be the fastest
little
person.
Little boys were the same way. I mean, as
not
a dude,
woman.
You wanted to see Flo Jo, right?
Not a woman. I thought to myself, fastest person in the world.
Yeah.
Even though the difference in sex, but I thought she could outrun any person, anything in the world at any time. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Why do you need the phone number? Because we're about to play the game to kick off hour number three of the program. Your chance to score not only the Harmony Pillow from our friends at Emily Mattress, but Will, it's coming up in 3 days. The inaugural Sports Animal Sports Fest. It's happening August the 7th at the Knoxville Expo Center. Being brought to you by VisitMySmokies.com. Do you want a family four-pack of tickets? Show off your big brain. We spin the game, Will, next here on the starting lineup. 99.1, The Sports Animal.